There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at pabred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Back at the races. Hey, Walt Nation, who I really like. Back with post-visit from Tony Black, and I wanted to make sure, in proximity to the passing of Walter Reese, to get Tony on this week, because we're not going to be here Thursday. We'll give you a best of, but Tony was, he reached out to me over the weekend, said Walter Reese died, and I could tell he was saddened, and obviously you get the complete understanding of why. So that was great, and they continue to have. I mean, the Reese's, Cynthia Reese. You think about it, that would be a great show in and of itself. Dick Powell's joining us. We could really do a feature, husband and wife training. Outfits that you got Mike and Patty Farrow and the Reese's, and there's no shortage that are together in the on the shed row and share the responsibility. The Godettes, the late great Eddie Godette and Linda, and there's a lot of that. That would be a Dick. That would be a great topic.
It would, Steve, and unbeknownst to a lot of people, especially when I open my mouth, I have a master's degree in sociology. And what's interesting with that is when you look at professions and children following their parents into a profession, which used to be the norm, now is not necessarily the norm. With racing, you just see it, not just children, spouses, and part of it is farm-like, that it helps have the family involved in the farm, and you got lots of chores to do, and the more family members you have involved, it's great. But then, these kids grow up, and they see their parents working 7 days a week and everything else, and they say, yeah, that's what I want to do. So that's That is a very interesting topic, and from a sociological standpoint, it's probably one of the few professions left where families still follow parents and spouses and everything else into the same game.
Hey, I'm sure I'll hear from a lot of people subsequently from this. How about the Harringtons out west? There's another one, right? Mike and Patty Harrington. They're a husband and wife. I mean, there's got to be way more too than top of mind. I mean, they're not directly involved these days. But John and Donna Ward, right? John and Donna together. They trained together basically. Arno and Lee Delacour. Lee took a little time off, but to have the baby. But when you work on the racetrack, that's where you're going to meet your spouse. A lot of times, yeah. They say the best place to meet a spouse is at work. So that's a natural. That's a natural, very much. Well, Dick, I wanted to reach out to you because the last couple of years we've had our conversations revolving around the Presque Isle season, and it wasn't somebody exiting the Presque Isle Masters that won a Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, but they did stop it on their way to the win. They did stop at Presque Isle to win the Malvern Rose. We talked to Shamrock, the Shamrock Rose story yesterday with Mark Cassie, and it's really a positive and a real testimony to the program at Presque, that, and of course the Pennsylvania breeding program, that they had one horse run in the Breeders' Cup and she wins.
Yeah, they've done great, and rightfully so, because I like the way their program is funded and operated, that there's a big incentive to stay in Pennsylvania and race there. So then, obviously, when you get into graded stakes or open listed stakes, you might have to go elsewhere, but the stakes program at all three tracks is pretty solid. So, yeah, and then when you take Presque Isle and you take the Tapeta Racing Surface, which, number one, is known for its safety, number two is turf-like. So turf horses, especially ones with speed, can get over that track and do very well. That trainers are not averse at all to shipping up there and racing, knowing that the horse is going to come back out of the race in terrific shape. And even if they don't like the track per se and they'll race well over it, they're not going to get beat up on it. So that's always been an attraction. And I'm amazed that, the purse level it's been kind of flat the last 2-3 years, which sometimes that's not a bad thing in today's world. But these people like Teresa Connolly and Jerry Birch and them that go up there for the summer and bring a lot of horses and claim and reclaim and in and out of the claim box and find the right horses. Boy, they do extremely well. These riders that commit to the whole meet, they do extremely well. And I think it's a nice meet, especially for a handicapper. That, like with Oaklawn coming up, and you had Paul Matisse on last week, and Paul was just terrific. And I know him and his brothers just love Oaklawn Park. They love Finger Lakes. They love dirt racing. The turf racing, as he described with you, as far as coming up with figures, it's a lot tougher. Well, when you got 9 dirt races a day, and whatever the case may be, that gives you a sample size and just so much easier to do numbers and keep track of things and stuff like that. So, it's Presque indirectly had a winner this year, and they've had many winners in the past with Musical Romance and the Buff Bradley Whoopie Doll. And,
Well, Dick, do me a favor. Talk a little bit here about your Breeders' Cup experience.
Well, I stayed home. I didn't go. And I made a commitment early that I wasn't going to go because I just don't want to deal with anything that is close to bad weather. So And here I am looking outside with snow on the ground. So that doesn't really add up, does it? But I just didn't have an interest in going this year. I went last year to Del Mar. I'll probably go next year. But this year, I what really bothered me last year, Steve, is I felt that I left a lot of money on the table with my betting. That my handicap was outstanding. The sheet that I sell on BristNet was fantastic. And yet, I didn't make anywhere near the money that I should have made. And part of that is being on Skype, not just not paying attention well enough, getting distracted, not putting out. And I'm not a big horizontal player. If I was, it's a lot easier to do them in advance. So I just felt, well, this year I'm going to stay home and concentrate. And I did okay. I needed thunder snow for a second. That was $128 Zach that would accelerate. I had accelerate second and done the snow first. So either way, I'm good. I was happy the way he ran, and I thought he ran his eyeballs out considering the pace and a track that was the main track that was kind of hard to gauge. And then the other races was, turf racing, you try to save ground. And I knew based on the weather that we were going to get softer ground, and that might help the Euros. But then the ones that really helped were the Euros that had jockeys that knew what they were doing. Because Frankie and Ryan, they weren't afraid to go out to the 8th path or the 10th path and find the better going, which over there, just not unusual. Like you get Newmarket, and it's a mile straightaway for their classic races. And all the stables are out walking the course, and they'll walk and then they'll notice, well, over here, the ground on this side of the stands looks better, firmer than this side, and things like that. And jockeys get instructions, or jockeys have ridden previous races that day and know where the better ground is. And certainly Frankie knew where the better ground was. Because I was happy he won. But the minute, if you get speed, all you hear is swaying, finishing on the outer rail and getting beat. But Enable was the real deal, and the O'Brien filly ran great, and they kind of ganged up on Enable on going into the half-mile pole. Hunting Horn, I think it was, kind of came up next to Enable and wouldn't let her out. She had room, but they kept her there. And then Ryan kind of cut the corner a little bit and came up her inside. But then Frankie just had too much horse. She was just spectacular. Did you get to see the replay with John Gosden standing there watching the race?
With the camera on him, you mean?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's awesome. It's like a guy, watching a train pull into the station. I mean, no emotion. It's just John Gosden. He watches things, and his mind's going a mile a minute, but there's no demonstration or anything. Then he has, he has a jockey that Frankie would have high-fived 100,000 people if he was able to bring the horse back. And Frankie's a monster terms as anyone, and Gosden watches the race. Oh, here she comes. Okay, all right, okay, we won.
How does that, Dick, in Breeders' Cup history, I mean, I think a majority of people post last week came out and said that and acknowledged that that was the defining moment of this cup. How does it stand up, do you think, when we get a little bit of a distance away from this? How is it going to stand up among the performances and the moments in this event in Breeders' Cup? There's been 35 of them.
I think it was real good. I think it will stand the test of time. I think it will be memorable. I think Frankie contributes to that, but I think the fact that she had won back-to-back Arc de Triomphe and was doing something that no one had done, no winner of an Arc de Triomphe had come over and won a Breeders' Cup. Horses who ran in the Arc de Triomphe won a Breeders' Cup Turf, and a horse who won the Breeders' Cup Turf went back and won the Arc the next year as Chantilly, but no one has ever done that double, so she was the first to do it. And I like after the arc, they immediately said she was going to the Breeders' Cup. And that I like to see. Sometimes it just depends on the stable. But they, you know, this was a plan, and they knew they missed a good portion of the season. They missed the King George. They missed a lot of races. And her stablemate, Cracksman, he missed a lot of races because he was acting up in the spring, and Gosden said he'll be good in the fall, and he won the British Champion Stakes by like 7 lengths. And so both his horses got real good in the fall, knowing that they had 2 races. They won the Arc and on to the Breeders' Cup. And now the question is, does Jed Mont, I don't know if I'd have to know specifically what kept her out from last year's Breeders' Cup all the way until this September of this year. Whatever ailment that was, even though she's over it, you know that you know how horses are, Steve. I mean, you got it. You're dealing with an issue, and you just don't know. So I don't know if she'll go on. It would be great if she did, but if she's not 100%, then I wouldn't want to see her go on.
But no, yeah, fair
that
enough.
That was pretty exciting, and you know, the funny thing was, those fillies were so good. We didn't even talk about girls against boys and all the marketing ploys that we try to come up with. I mean, you go around the world, it's hardly even mentioned. You know, Winx wins 29 races in a row. No one ever says, well, how many of them were against boys? Like, almost all of them. That's not even a factor. And here they're beating the boys. And older fillies have no trouble doing that. And the younger fillies get a good enough weight concession that they can do it.
Dick Powell's with us, and wanted to get Dick's Breeders' Cup thoughts. We didn't get a chance to talk pre-cup. Where are you going to shake out on this fascinating Justify Accelerate Horse of the Year discussion?
I am with Justify.
Okay.
I have some concerns with Justify, and some of it is not necessarily him, but the way things were handled by his connections. But I think, first of all, he didn't make his start till February 18th, and that was not part of any plan. That was something was wrong, and Bob couldn't race him until that was fixed. So then he gets right in the fast track, and Bob says, I got a plan to get to the Derby. And he did. He beat Bolt Doro in the San Diego Derby. He looked spectacular. Well, then he catches two of the worst tracks you'll ever see for the Derby and the Preakness. I mean, it was horrible. So he survives that. He comes out of the Derby. Bob walks him out of the stall. He says he came out of the race great. And yet there's major media people standing there that didn't even see the horse, wasn't even putting any weight on his left hind. And when Bob went to turn him to the left, the horse, like, buckled a little bit. So no matter what the reason was, he was not 100% after the Derby. He did not come out of the Derby great. So he has no workouts going into the Preakness, no time breezes. He wins that on sheer guts and a heady ride by Mike that did just enough to get him home. And then Bob had an extra week, and he trained him pretty good. 2 good workouts, half mile, 5 furlongs going into the Belmont. And I wasn't crazy about the restoring hope part of the equation, and Mike yelling at Florent, you the man, after the race. That didn't sit well with me. But I think they kind of went all in. I think whatever it was that was bothering him was still going to bother him, and they were going to go all in for the Triple Crown, and they did. And then after that, it became, this hodgepodge of partnerships that some are in for the ownership part and some are in for the breeding part. And all that. And then we didn't get to see him again. That's too bad. But what he did was just out of this world. And if he would have caught legitimate tracks in the Derby especially, I think he would have seen something really special. I thought the Santa Anita Derby was really special.
That's a fair point.
So I am nothing against Accelerate. I have all the respect in the world for Accelerate. John Sadler and all that, I think he's a wonderful horse. But I just think what Justify did was not going to see very often. And I just wish some of the other things hadn't taken place. And one thing, I did a column on this yesterday on, I think it's on twinspires.com/news, is I did mention, without any detail, Frankel's people did the same thing in his last race. And, you know, Frankel was a wonderful horse, 14 out of 14, but his last race was British Champions Day. And Cirrus de Zeglins was a top, top horse. And he, Frankel's rabbit, got left in the gate. And they're like motioning him, come on, get up there, get up there. So not only does he go up to race with Cirrus de Zeglins, but he's kind of harassing him. And, yeah, Frankel won by a length and a half. He was great. He was 14 from 14. He's a wonderful sire. He's a wonderful racehorse. But I thought that kind of took away from the performance. You know, to me, if you got Damascus, you shouldn't need a rabbit. You know, Dr. Fagan didn't need a rabbit, and that's why many of us are Dr. Fagan. Hmm.
You wouldn't. Yeah.
We didn't need a rabbit. We were our rabbit.
You were yours. That's it. I'm my own rabbit. I love it, Dick. I appreciate it. Good to catch up.
Hey, Steve. You know where to find me.
Absolutely. For the winter. I hear you, Dick Powell. Yeah. Everybody, and you can read Dick, of course, on the TwinSpire blog roll, and we'll check in with him during the winter, off and on. We'll see what he's tracking. But I did want to get his post Breeders' Cup thoughts in, and especially in light of the work we do with Presque Isle and with the Pennsylvania team. Let's take a break here. Last of the morning, Todd Pletcher will join us next, and we got a bunch of things. Obviously, Bulletin winning the juvenile turf sprint, but somewhat lost was Audible's comeback in the Cherokee Run, setting things up. And there's a couple of other players that need to be discussed. Empire of War, Blind Ambition, who didn't get into the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, the adult version. Todd Pletcher joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at pabred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back about 15 minutes till noon on this Tuesday. Todd Pletcher joining us, and they've got literally 3 months worth of stuff to talk about, but we'll keep it confined, to the 6 stake wins from the last 10 days. Todd, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good, and great to catch up. And obviously, we start with a Breeders' Cup win, and for me, it was one of the funnier little asides of the Breeders' Cup. Asked you earlier in the day, how do you think the turf is? And you said, we'll see. And then Bulletin goes out and blitzkriegs the juvenile turf sprint, and I said, that was a good path that he found.
Yeah, it really was. In a race like that, going 5.5 on the turf, you don't expect to sort of get a darn near a two-length head start in the first 20 yards, but he just broke so cleanly and so smoothly and actually kind of left Javier in the back seat for a moment. But, that turned out to be the real key for him. And it was interesting analyzing the 2 days. It seemed like on Friday on the turf course, speed was holding up pretty well. It was hard to make up a lot of ground, and then on Saturday it seemed to be more of a traditional turf course where you could kind of come from anywhere. But we were awfully proud of his effort for only a second start, and he was game, and he was impressive. So we were delighted with that.
You were really deliberate with everything about this horse, and that included sending him down to Florida and, putting the sights on the Hollywood Beach for the debut, and you took advantage of that spot, and it subsequently we heard that part of it was with an eye on getting him the kind of credential that would get him into this race, and that paid off as handsomely as a gambit can.
Yeah, I mean, it really, the Hollywood Beach was part of the plan, but to be honest with you, we were sort of thinking that would be a second start. We shipped him down to Palm Beach Downs with some of our other horses because there were no maiden turf races sprinting left at Saratoga kind of the last 10 or 12 days of the meet. So we had our eye on a race at Gulfstream. And one of the things we talked about was if he broke his maiden, what would we do with him? And so we said, they got the Hollywood Beach. So we sort of had a two race plan in mind. Unfortunately, the maiden race, not only did it not fill that week, but it didn't subsequently fill for a couple more weeks. And the racing office was kind enough that we kept asking to put one up, and they did, but it just wasn't going. And finally, we got to the day of the Hollywood Beach, and entered him in a different maiden race that day. And racing office Chris Kate came out, called me, and said, "Man, I'm sorry, I can't get this maiden race to go. Do you want to take a look at the stake?" And I said, "Yeah, let's go ahead and do it and take a look at it." And we kind of liked the spot, and more importantly than anything, we needed to get going. So it was really a blessing that he was able to win that and not only win it, but do it so impressively that it earned him, enough credentials to get into a race that oversubscribed quite a bit.
Well, and that's the thing, because if he had just had the maiden win on the resume, he wouldn't have been selected into the body of the field.
No, just the maiden race wouldn't have gotten it. And, you know, the fact that it was a stake, and not only a stake, but, you know, he did it impressively in fast time. And, you know, you don't see horses very often win by 7.5 lengths or whatever it was on going 5 furlongs on the turf. So I think combination of all those things got him in, and then he took care of the rest.
How concerned were you, in, not just with him, and of course a lot was made of the fact that, you know, you had all these turf runners with Opry and Current going in the boys' race, etc. How, you know, how concerned were you about the status of that turf course with all the rain that kept coming?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was mainly concerned for a couple of horses, and I think ultimately it was their undoing. I don't think Opry handled the soft conditions, and you know, we ran him in the Pilgrim, and Javier said he didn't handle it soft as well as he did firm. And Javier worked him back on a firm turf course before the juvenile turf, and he said he's just a completely different horse on firmer ground. Of course, you know, you're there and you're in position to run, and it's raining, and you kind of never know for sure how a horse is going to respond to two different turf courses. But we had real concern on how he would handle it, and you know, Javier ultimately said it was his undoing. He's spinning his wheels the last 3/8 of a mile. And the other horse that I was concerned for was High Happy. He just, has proven that he's a little better on solid ground. So, again, you know, I mean, I kind of kept going back to English Channel when he was in his championship year. We'd gone to Dubai and the turf course was a little bit soft there, and he hated it. We got to Monmouth, and it was bottomless ground, and he loved it. So you try to convince yourself sometimes that, you know, they'll handle a different soft turf course differently than the other ones. But, you know, it was a concern for sure.
How do you foresee going forward with Bulletin as a 3-year-old? Because family-wise, being by City Zip, he's out of a Woodman mare who was a sister to, or not just, as, I take that back, not a sister, Tis Miss Sue is Bulletin's sister. And, she got a distance, she being by Tis now.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the one thing I think he'll do, especially as he matures and gets a little older, is I think ultimately he'll stretch out and probably not only be a good turf sprinter, but a turf miler as well. You know, the horse trained this summer at Saratoga, and you could see in his dirt works he had enough quality that he'd always kind of be right there, but he never galloped out like he truly loved the dirt. When we put him on the grass, we saw improvement, not only in his work, but in the gallop out as well. But, you know, talking to the guys at Windstar and SF and China Horse Club and the ownership, we felt like we had him tabbed as a turf sprinter pretty early. And I think, you know, ultimately that's going to be his real strength. But I think he has enough class and quality that he'll get a mile, you know, as a 3-year-old. And, of course, he'll need to do that to open up a lot of options because there's limited opportunities for turf sprinters. But right now he's getting a little vacation at Windstar. There's nothing really immediately on the calendar for him, so figured we'd give him this time to freshen up. And we kind of kicked around the idea of maybe, you know, going to Royal Ascot if he trains accordingly and has an appropriate prep race beforehand.
Well, and especially because, like you say, there isn't necessarily the first half of the year. It's not like you're going to be missing anything if you make that trip.
Correct, yeah. And, you know, they have grade one opportunity there going 6 furlongs on the turf, which, could be ideal for them. So we'll see. It's a ways away, but that's sort of what we have charted out.
Well, and let's be honest, everybody would love to see Elliot Walden in one of those goofy outfits.
I'm sure they would.
It was a terrific day overall, and other than, you know, some of the other spots, the horse that we have to talk about is Audible and the Cherokee Run, and that was a very impressive return. You have to be delighted.
Couldn't have been more pleased with the way it worked out. Audible had been training really well, and we were sort of looking at options of where to bring him back and at what distance to bring him back. And, you know, it's that time of the year when there's limited opportunities, sort of the only couple of straight three-year-old races left were the Cherokee Run and the Discovery at Aqueduct, which was a mile and eighth, and that concerned me a little bit, bringing him back off that layoff. And so, you know, our goal is to get to the Pegasus, and kind of looking at what our options were on the best way to get there, we felt like the 7/8 race on November 2nd, coming back to the Harlan's Holiday on December 15th, and then onto the Pegasus was sort of a, you know, you really couldn't draw up a better scheduling and spacing, and so we got the first part of it done, and even though I don't think 7 furlongs is his best distance, he had enough quality and kind of class to overcome that. He set a perfect trip. I actually put himself in a pretty good stalking position and really, really pleased with the way he polished it off. And so now hopefully things continue to go smoothly towards the Harlan's Holiday, and we're looking forward to that. And then hopefully the Pegasus from there.
Well, and you're certainly taking advantage of, you know, the Florida positioning. Picara wins that Sunshine Millions Filly and Mare prep, and Shanghai Starlet wins the Distaff prep. People may not have noticed, but last week as well, early in the or midweek, whatever it was, Tuesday or Wednesday, they run those stakes in Indiana, and I look up and there's PD Bianchi winning the Slocum. But the two horses that I'm not going to let you go without talking about, Empire of War, who wins the Awad, and Blind Ambition, who, if able to get into the turf sprint, would have been a very clever and live long shot. And then the horse that is obviously getting a freshening after running 9 times as a three-year-old, but for people who did not happen to notice Channel Cat in that race in the Bald Eagle Derby, wins the inaugural Bald Eagle Derby, Todd, and he is a absolute star in the making for anybody not paying attention.
No, he, he's kind of been a cool horse for us because, being English Channel and I just, as a two-year-old, you know, I kept telling our staff, I said, this is our sleeper horse here. You know, he's immature, but he has a lot of the same qualities that English Channel had, and he kind of resembles him a lot. And I said, when he matures and we get to stretch him out, this is going to be a really nice horse for us. So it was a lot of fun for us to see that sort of come to fruition this fall. And, you know, the ground that he ran on at Laurel was probably very similar to the condition of the turf when English Channel won the Breeders' Cup turf at Monmouth. I mean, it was really bottomless, and he just, you know, he relished it. So, kind of like you said, he had 9 starts. He finished up on a good note, and he's at Calumet now, getting a little bit of a break. But we look forward to getting him back, and you know, I think he could be a really productive 4-year-old for us, especially in those marathon type turf races.
That performance, I think that's probably the least seen stake win of the year. And if for those of you that haven't, I'm telling you, Todd, if anybody that hasn't seen it, I sent Andy Serling to it. I said, did you see that Channel Cat? And he had, I think Andy had kind of signed on after the Belmont Derby, and he kept good company all year, and was, I love that he's getting a freshening, and obviously his stablemate does too. We're going to end up running out of time, but Empire War, you got to be excited about, and where's Blind Ambition going to run in that thing coming up?
In the Aqueduct Turf Sprint. And
yes.
And Empire War, there's actually the Central Park back on the 22nd, so he gets one more opportunity at Aqueduct if we can, the weather will cooperate, and we can get some turf races in at the end of the meet here.
Very nice. And then Into Mystic and So Alive and Red Hot Dame.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a productive fall. We had a little quieter Saratoga than we'd like to have, but it seemed like things kind of gelled, and we were able to have a successful Keeneland meet. And you know, so it's an exciting time with the 2-year-olds coming to the end of the year and turning 3. So we're looking forward to it.
All right, and you know, you better slap Weaver around. He was loose on the lead here yesterday with me.
He's got a nice colt. I'm happy for him.
He's all well, yeah. But you know what this means? We're gonna all have to put up with Randy Hill now for the whole winter.
That's a different story, right?
I love it, Todd. Always great. I appreciate it. And if we don't talk, have a you and Trace and the kids have a happy Thanksgiving, and we will see you soon and talk again soon.
All right, Steve. Thanks a lot. You do the same.
I appreciate it, Todd Pletcher. Everybody. That was fun. Well, this was a crazy 3 hours. It went fast. And Dick Powell and Tony Black and Andy Serling and Jack Sisterson. There's your Tuesday get together. Back tomorrow for the Wednesday Gabfest. Sid Fernando. We'll see what else Sid has been tracking at the same. So forth. Talk about those mares. That's an interesting topic, actually. All the mares being scooped up for stud service with all these new stallions. Sid will explain how he has clients, how he approaches it with the clients. Good luck if you're playing today. Replay 6 to 9 here on Sirius XM, and we'll talk to you in the morning. Thanks, everybody.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.